근접해하리. 자열하라 마려가 근접해하리. 고피 자나바바 기리바를 하리. 고피 자나바바 기리바를 하리. 길바를 하리. 여쇼란담나 바자자나란댐나 여쇼란담나 바자자나란댐나 여쇼란담나 라자자나란젠나 야모나티라 바나샤리. 야모나티라 바나샤리. 야모나티라 바나샤리. 제여라 마라바 근접해하리. 제여라 마라바 근접해하리. 제여라다 마르바 근접해하리. 고피잔나발라바 기리바르하리. 여소라 남단나 바자잔나란나 야모나티라 반다자리. 제여라다 마라바 군자베하 제여라다 마라바 근접해하리. 제여라다 마라바 근접해하리.
자이옴 비슈누 파다 파라마함사 카리브라지가차리아 슈토타야 사르시레시 박티베란타 스와미 실 프라부파다 키 아난타코타 바이슈나 빈디 키 나마 아차리아 실 하리다사 사코르 키 Prem se koho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhanaki Shri Vrindavan Dhamki Shri Mayapur Dhamki Ganga Mayaki Yamuna Mayaki Tulasi Devaki Bhakti Devaki Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Hurinama Sankirtanam Ki Brihat Madanga Ki Shri Prabhupada Ki Shishi Gornitai Ki Shishi Krishna Balaram Ki Shishi Radha Shama Sundar Lalita Vishaka Devis Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Guranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Vichardine Nirvasesha Sunyavadi Pastichade Shatardine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 33, Text Number 4. Is that on the screen? 4? 5? 5, okay. Let's open on 4. Okay, number 5. Text 5 to 7. So one verse, number 4, is on the screen, which is... Sorry. The marker is on 4. So text 5, okay. So we're reading from text number 5 until 7. Is that right? Okay. Kindly repeat. Valayanam Nupuranam Kinkininam Cha Yoshitam Sa Priyanam Abut Shabdaha Tumulaha Rasamandale Valayanam Narupanam Valayanam Nupuranam Kinkininang Chayoshitam Sapriyanam Abhuchadas Tumalarasamandale Valayanam Napuranam Kinkininam Chayoshitam Sapiyanam Abhuchabdas Tumalarasamandale Valayanam Nupuranam Kinkininam Chayoshitam Sapriyanam Bhushchabdas Tumalorasa Mandale Valayanam Nupuranam Kinkininang Chayoshitam Sapriyanam Bhushchabdas Tumalorasa Mandale Puranam Kinkininam Chayoshitam Sapriyanam Abhujchabdas Tumalorasa Mandale. Valayanam Nirupanam Kinkininam Chayoshitam Sapriyanam Abhujchabdas Tumalorasa Mandale. Valayanam Nupuranam Kinkininam Chayoshitam Sapriyanam Abhushchabdas Tumalorasa Mandale. Anybody else? Very enthusiastic this morning to chant the verse. Hare Krishna.
Always.
Always, yeah. Usually there's a few more devotees repeating the verse. No problem.
They only hear you.
They only hear me, that's for sure. We'll go on to the word for word and then the translation. Valayanam. Of the armlets. Nupuranam, ankle bells. Kinkininam, bells worn around the waist. Cha, and Yoshitam, of the women. Sapriyanam, who were with their beloved. Abut, there was. Shabdaha, a sound. Tumulaha, tumultuous. Rasa Mandale, in the circle of the Rasa dance. Translation is no purport. A tumultuous sound arose from the armlets, ankle bells, and waist bells of the gopis as they sported with their beloved Krishna in the circle of the Rasa dance. No purport. Text number 6. Tatradishu shubhetabhir Bhagavan devaki suttaha Madhye mani nam haimanam Mahamarakato yata. Translation and purport. I don't know if it... Does it come on the screen? This is a great introduction. I mean, for decades we had the chalkboard, and now you've got this. Marvelous. Translation. In the midst of the dancing gopis, Lord Krishna appeared most brilliant, like an exquisite sapphire, in the midst of golden ornaments. What do you call that? Is that a metaphor? What's the word for that?
Wonderful.
Wonderful, for sure. It's a wonderful... I don't know what you call it, metaphor. I'm not very good at those type of words. But it's a wonderful description, that's for sure. Next. But it falls way short, you could say, of the actual situation. Something we can relate to. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura states that Devaki besides being the name of Vasudeva's wife, is also a name of Mother Yashoda, as stated in the Adi Purana. Dvenamni nanda bhayaya yasoda deva kiticha. The wife of Nanda has two names, Yashoda and Devaki. End of purport. So we go on to text number 7, which is a little bit longer purport. It's a very long verse, and I think we'll leave the verse out. We'll just go straight on to the English. Translation, as the gopis sang in praise of Krishna, their feet danced, their hands gestured, and their eyebrows moved with playful smiles. With their braids and belts tied tight, their waists bending, their faces perspiring, the garments on their breasts moving this way and that, and their earrings swinging on their cheeks, Lord Krishna's young consorts shone like streaks of lightning in a mass of clouds. Whew. Quite a verse, huh? A lot to digest.
Just no digestion.
Okay. Don't imitate, huh? No imitation. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that according to the analogy of lightning flashing in clouds.
Maharaj, you got to speak more into the mic.
More into the mic?
Yeah, they
can't hear. They can't hear, okay? It sounds very loud here. It's funny. No, I understand. It's difficult to tell. Is that better?
Yeah.
Is it better?
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're good.
Good. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that according to the analogy of lightning flashing in clouds, the perspiration on the lovely faces of the gopis resembled drops of mist, and their singing resembled thunder. The word agrantayaha may also be read agrantayaha, meaning loosened. This would indicate that although the gopis began the dance with their hair and belts tightly drawn, these gradually slackened and loosened. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that the gopis were expert at exhibiting mudras, precise hand gestures that express feelings or convey meanings associated with the theme of a performance. Thus, sometimes Krishna and the gopis would artistically move their interlocked arms together, and sometimes they would separate arms and exhibit mudras to act out the meaning of the songs they were singing. The word pada nyasai indicates that the gopis artistically and gracefully placed the steps of their dancing feet in an enchanting way, and the words sa smitair bruvilasair indicate that the romantic movements of their eyebrows smiling with love were most charming to behold. Om Jnanatimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmahe Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shvayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati sva vedantikam. Hare Krishna. So, Panchagoda Prabhu, Kavichandra Maharaj, all the assembled Vaishnavas, Pritu Prabhu, Sruti Kirti, and many other senior Vaishnavas here today, and Vaishnavis, Mandakini, and many others, please bear with us. We'll try to, let's say, share some words, and we hope that these words will inspire us on our path of devotional service with your blessings and your kindness. I'd like to read a few more things related. Generally speaking, we're all familiar with the fact that Srila Prabhupada didn't delve. We're in an audience today where many devotees are at different levels of progress in Krishna consciousness. Some have been in the movement for 50 to 55 years, chanting the holy names, following strictly. Some are new to Krishna consciousness. Some of us have had our ups and downs. We're seeing the world through our various conditionings. We have our different, let's say, perspectives on things sometimes. So Srila Prabhupada generally, especially on this subject, not just Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, but also Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, rarely, only with a few very, very confidential followers, 3.5 confidential followers, did Lord Chaitanya generally delve deeply into these subject matters. We can hear them. Srila Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book, practically speaking, one of the first books in our movement. Huh? Was it 1970, I think, wasn't it? I think so. Very early on, it was the very first book I ever managed to buy. And we're reading it. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, it's so ecstatic and so full of life and meaning. This is the most confidential subject matter of the Vedas. And here we are, drug-taking hippies or something, reading the Krishna book. It's quite incredible. And becoming attracted and inspired somehow, maybe with no real understanding, of the effect of the pure devotee's deliverance there. But in general, aside from that, the same with the nectar of devotion. I know many devotees, they read 19 chapters of the Nectar of Devotion and start again. But that wasn't in when we were in early years in Bury Place in London, we would read the whole Nectar of Devotion. We didn't understand it. What did we know? Maybe some little bit, but transcendental activities, all the various rasas, rasabhas, ecstatic symptoms and so on. We would just read it. These are given to us by the pure devotee of the Lord. And by hearing his words, we become purified and eligible step by step, if we follow the process, to actually be able to progress towards that stage of realization or understanding. Yes, we would all sit every day and read Nectar of Devotion in the temple together. All the chapters. Not all at once, but systematically. Prabhupada wanted this. We may not understand it. We certainly can't imitate it. We may not be able to delve into it. We're still conditioned souls. But by hearing it from the proper source, we become purified. So I'd like to read something now from Srila Prabhupada. And that's one of the reasons we, even if we have that realization, in a mixed assembly, these subject matters are not, generally speaking, dealt in depth. We're more concerned with the process of eligibility or becoming qualified step by step. At each stage of our progress in spiritual life, there will be a different subject matter which is very relevant. Maybe different activities, a different degree of execution of sadhana, different types of association as we gradually progress, one will naturally become inclined. But as Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, that these subject matters, for those who are still affected by the modes of nature, for those who have any inkling of sex desire, this is not the time. These subject matters should not be delved deeply into at this stage. When one is purified, it becomes a natural evolvement. So we're going to read from Srila Prabhupada now. This is March the 14th, a week ago, March the 14th, 1974. So we're going back almost 50 years ago, when Srila Prabhupada was here in Vrindavan. I don't know if anyone was here. Were you, Shruti Kirti, with Prabhupada in 74? No? In Vrindavan? You may well have been present during this lecture. Here in this temple, Srila Prabhupada lectured. So we can say about this verse, or these verses, this section of the Bhagavatam, it is obviously the highest goal, and in what we could say our objective goal of our acharyas, and that's our future kind of goal or hope. Prabhupada even expressed that one day you'll be dancing with Krishna, a little time away. So it's our goal, the goal of our lives. It's not just the goal of life, as we've been hearing on various morning classes. It's not really just our goal of life to be there. Our goal of life is to develop or awaken the mood of pure devotional service, the mood of those devotees. One thing which stands out in these verses and this subject matter here is that everything, whatever it is, how they decorate their bodies, how they dance, the mudras which they show, everything, the movements of their eyes, everything is simply to bring pleasure to Krishna. And this is the actual principle of devotional service. It may start off with doing what our conditioned situation tends to, veer towards. But ultimately, when we become purified of our conditioning, ultimately it's the soul's natural constitution to exist wholly and solely for the pleasure of Krishna. And basically that's what we're practicing. By accepting direction from a pure devotee of the Lord, we're learning how to exist for the pleasure of Krishna. And not just how I like it. There's a lot of how I like it still, or how I feel, how I want, and so on. It's still there. But the process, if followed properly, will help to free us from this covering or this illusion. And to realize our real business. And these pastimes demonstrate to the fullest extent the situation of the pure devotees, that they only want to bring pleasure to Krishna. They have no concern about their own pleasure as such. That comes automatically because Krishna simply wants to please his pure devotees. So Prabhupada talks here about what real love is. Real love is to love Krishna. That is the highest philosophy of life, the highest perfection of life, how to learn to love Krishna. Vrindavan means simply loving Krishna. So if you're wondering what Vrindavan is, Prabhupada tells quite simply here what love or what Vrindavan is. It simply means to love Krishna. That's what Vrindavan means. It's not, and Prabhupada goes on then to say, the cowherd boys, the gopis, Nanda Maharaj, Yasoda Mai, Radharani, their only focus is to love Krishna. And when you really love somebody, it means all you're thinking of is their welfare. What brings pleasure to them, irrelevant of what the reaction is to ourselves. That's all. That is Vrindavan. Vrindavan does not mean a city or town. Sometimes we tend to forget that and we say, oh, I'm in Vrindavan. We're in the association of Vrindavan, on the surface maybe. Vrindavan means where everyone is in love, in intense love with Krishna. Not just surface love or sometimes love, but intense. That means complete all the time. Nothing else is there except for loving Krishna. There's no other thought on their mind except for loving Krishna, and consequently whatever achieves Krishna's happiness. Now you have come to Vrindavan. Try to learn how to intensely love Krishna. That is perfection of life. And that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution. It's incredible how, wherever we're coming from, how by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and his followers, we're sitting here having the chance to attain this highest perfection by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. It's just, this is the most miraculous of all miracles. It's inconceivable almost. But this is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So, Vrindavan Dham is apricot dham. Everybody knows what apricot means? I hope I'm saying it a way that you don't mix it up with a fruit. Apricot? What does it mean? Huh? Unmanifest, is that what he said? Yeah. Unmanifest. Prakat means manifest. It appears to be manifest. We're looking at the beautiful deities of Sri Sri Gornitai. This beautiful temple. Hearing the holy names. Places of Krishna's pastimes. Temples. Devotees, residents of the Dham, the cows, the dust of the Dham. They appear, yes, they're revealing according to our surrender. We're getting the chance to associate. They're giving this little opportunity. Like a tip of an iceberg. A little drop, you could say. There's an unlimited, ever-increasing ocean there. We just have to become, let's say, eligible to enter in, desiring to enter in. Maybe we still have a few desires for the shore, the material world. But by coming into the association of the Dham, and specifically in the Dham, it doesn't mean that we go, you know, we spend our whole time in Loi Bazaar or in the MVT restaurant or somewhere or another, trying to get some, you know, pleasure for our senses. But the essence is that we remember Krishna, we hear and chant, we render service to the Vaishnavas, to the Dham, that we hear and chant about Krishna from the bona fide source. Prabhupada goes on to say, those who are attached to Vishaya. What is Vishaya? Vishaya. There are some islands. Anyone from the Philippines? Is the islands are called the Vishayas. And they really are meant for sense gratification. So what is Vishaya? Sense gratification. Those who are attached to Vishaya, sense gratification, they cannot see what is Vrindavan. It's like when Prabhupada came here in 67 with Kirtananandan Prabhu, when he came and he left here as Swami, he said to Prabhupada, why is Vrindavan, Prabhupada? It looks so dirty. It looks so dirty. I mean, yeah, with mundane eyes, it looks so dirty, right? It does look dirty. So
so much piles of garbage that Prabhupada said, because your heart is dirty. You have a dirty heart. You're seeing dirty. We see according to our conditioning. We accept and reject even statements from Shastra or statements from Srila Prabhupada said, right? Sometimes we maybe hearsay, but even then we just take the little one that it may not be in context. We haven't got that big picture of understanding what is relevant necessarily, because we're seeing through our own conditioning, through the modes of nature which are still covering us. They cannot understand what is Krishna and Radha. Funny Prabhupada puts it that way around. And there's a reason why. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur sings, and many of you know this, Vishaya Choriya Serase Majiya. No, that's Lochan Das. This is a different song. Vishaya Choriya Kabe Shudahabhimam Kabe Hamahe Rabo Sri Vrindavan. What does that mean? I'm sure everyone's sung that very famous song, Goranga Boloti Habe. What does that line mean? Yes. One has to become freed of this desire for Vishaya, or sense gratification. And the heart becomes purified if one actually wants to enter in to Sri Vrindavan Dham. Vishaya Chadiya means one who detests this material enjoyment. Do we detest it? Well, a little bit. Sometimes. Depends where we are and what's going on. Sometimes Krishna gives a little mercy sometimes, puts us in a bit of trouble, and then we start thinking of why. I remember one time I was in Uganda, 1980, alone, trying to preach Krishna consciousness. The African boy with me disappeared somewhere, and I was left alone in the middle of the jungles of Uganda. And there's a long story behind it, but boy, did I really feel appreciation for the Vaishnava Association in that position. You really felt, you know, oh, I just want to be with devotees, however difficult it may be. I just want to be with the devotees. Whatever they do, it's just like, sometimes Krishna puts in that situation where sense gratification, when you get sick sometimes, you feel sense gratification is horrible. The very thought of it is detestable. It's horrible. You don't want to go there ever again. As soon as you're well, of course it changes usually, but at least at that time we feel like that. Prabhupada says, they cannot see what is Vrindavan. This is the process. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Haibeya Kuti Kabehama Bujabase Yugala Piriti. We should try to understand Krishna's love with the gopis all of a sudden. Not all of a sudden. Not like we wake up today, I'm in Raghunuga Bhakti. I'm experiencing bhava. At least up until breakfast time. Which will be approaching very soon, don't worry. Sometimes it's good that we're hankering for it. But as Rupa Goswami says, you know, enthusiasm, hankering is a very important aspect of advancement in Krishna consciousness, but it has to be tempered with patience. It has to be tempered with intelligence. Enthusiasm doesn't just mean passion. You know, what does it mean? Enthusiasm. It means our actions are with intelligence, proper intelligence, not just acting, you know, wildly. Understanding the goal, but you know, in any activity in life, we may have a goal. But we also have to understand the process to reach the goal. Whether it's study, sport, childbirth, whatever it is, there's a process we have to go through. We have to be patient. But we have to go through the process at the same time. We can't get it. There's an interesting word in English, prematurely. You've heard this word? Many times we want this pure love of God prematurely. And it's a very interesting word, because if you break it down in another way, it means prema too early, prematurely. A very interesting word. Huh? Prema too early. Yes, we want prema. That's the goal of our life. What's the use otherwise, practically? But it's not something you can just happen by doing this and that. It descends as the divine mercy of those who have it. The gopis of Vrindavan, whatever rasa it may be. We have to cultivate that mood of total self-surrender. It is very confidential. It is meant for the Paramahamsas to understand. Let us understand Krishna first of all. Well, we have Bhagavad Gita to understand Krishna. Why Prabhupada says again and again, you have to go through the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam and understand the truth about Krishna. Otherwise, we may read. Of course we're going to read. Wonderful. Srila Prabhupada wants us to do that. But to actually digest in a way that is productive, not that we get constipation or diarrhea, but in a way that we actually is appropriate. We get totally nourished and go further forward. We have to go through the 9 cantos in their various categories. And especially the first 2 cantos. Prabhupada said those who are still attached to mundane sex life, practically speaking, we have to remain at the lotus feet of the Lord, which are the first 2 cantos of the Bhagavatam. Anyway, we're not going to go down that path today. We'll finish this off. Of course, that is the aim, the highest understanding of Krishna. Gopi bhava rasamita dalahari kalola magno moho. But not all of a sudden. Try to understand Krishna first. Therefore, Vyasadeva's compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, just mentioned. If one tries to understand Krishna from the 10th canto only, some people do, Krishna will think, Prabhupada said, Krishna is like us. I'm a young boy. He's after so many young girls. Let us imitate. No, that is not understanding Krishna. Krishna must be understood. And then, if you follow the footsteps of the acharyas, you will be able to understand what are the loving affairs between Krishna and Radharani. Don't try to understand all of a sudden, like ordinary boy and girl making their loving affairs, then you will fall down. So this is my request, it's Prabhupada speaking. You have come to Vrindavan. Try to understand what is Vrindavan Dham. What is Radha Krishna? But very cautiously, very carefully, then Krishna will be pleased. And Krishna himself, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present here, go through him. In this way, gradually you will be able to understand. But that is the highest perfection. Some way or other, if you can understand Krishna and Vrindavan are non-different, they are one. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. As he is worshipable, his dham is also worshipable. We should not commit any offense in the dham. And we should follow the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. then we will be favored by the grace of Krishna to understand him and his pastimes with Radharani. So we may ask, we've already mentioned a few things, how to achieve this goal of our lives, Krishna Prema, to enter into those pastimes for the pleasure of Krishna, not for our own pleasure, but for the pleasure of Krishna. This is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mission of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and this is what preaching basically means, isn't it? We as jivas, conditioned that we may are, our real constitution is to engage in pure devotional service to Krishna, to the devotees of Krishna. So preaching means to please Krishna, to reconnect all the jivas to Krishna. The more the merrier. The more pleasure it can bring Krishna. This is the mood of a devotee. By connecting the jiva with Krishna in pure devotion brings Krishna pleasure. And that's preaching. The pure devotees are always thinking of what will increase Krishna's pleasure. More over and above what will release the living entity from their suffering. But what will bring more pleasure to Krishna? This is Lord Chaitanya's mood. And consequently, in the course of that, of course, it releases the living entities. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world for two specific purposes, along with his associates, to taste the nectar of Krishna Prema, the love, in other words, which his devotees are experiencing when they give their heart and soul to please Krishna. They experience love and happiness even greater than Krishna's. Lord Krishna cannot experience that, so he appears in this form of Mahaprabhu to taste that ecstatic feeling of the gopis and the devotees, their love for him. So he came for that reason, and to, along with the performance of congregational chanting of the holy name, which is the primary process by which this natural love for Krishna will awaken, congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Thus, the Lord, along with his associates, spread Krishna consciousness even amongst the untouchables. Even amongst the untouchables, practically like many of us, come from that category. And thus, the Lord wove a wreath of the holy name and Krishna Prema, with which he garlanded the entire material world. And it's congregational chanting of the holy name, which Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj describes as the emperor of all sadhana. If the sadhana which we performed does not help us to develop our attraction for chanting, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj says, it is an impediment on our path. An impediment. It doesn't deserve to be called sadhana. Real sadhana means, he says, that which helps us to develop an attraction for chanting the holy name of Krishna, because everything is there in chanting the name. The name, the Lord has invested all of his transcendental energies in the sound vibration of the Mahamantra. Everything is there, but we're not there. We have to learn the process of associating with the holy name of Krishna. He says, this is the emperor of all sadhana, the chanting or congregational chanting of the holy name, and the only infallible means of success. There is no other means of success, ultimately, or infallible means. There are many other limbs of devotion which are very important in order for us to actually come to really understand the transcendental nature of the Mahamantra and to really enter into Sankirtan. Sankirtan is not just a bit of fun, a bit of jumping around and having a good time. and attracting attention or whatever it may be. That may be there at the childlike stage we're at. But it is a reenactment in one sense. It's the equivalent of the Rasa Leela dance. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan, his Prema Sankirtan, is this, practically the same associates are coming in Gaur Leela, and they're absorbed in this congregational chanting, experiencing in the house of Sri Vash Thakur or on Rathiyatra, which is a very, very significant festival, experiencing the same transcendental reciprocation of loving exchange as takes place in the Rasa Leela. We may not quite be on that platform, so therefore there's a process to follow. Everything in the Sankirtan movement, at least during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, it was not a whimsical exhibition of our conditional tendencies and abilities. We may use those, or they may be used in Krishna's service. But ultimately, it's not like that. Just like we see the gopis here, the mudras, the ways their faces are decorated, the movements of their eyes, the bracelets on their ankles, the necklaces, everything, earrings, everything, just perfectly to bring ever-increasing pleasure to Krishna. This Sankirtan movement has the same basic principle. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, at least in a manifest way, what to speak of internally, but manifest way, he showed that. He organized the Sankirtan parties. Everyone was in the right place to create exactly the perfect purpose behind the Sankirtan. It's not just to show how loud you can beat the jumbe. There were no jumbes then. No comment. But even if you're a drum player, you had to play exactly the perfect beat according to the mood. Not just according to your mood, but according to the mood of Krishna, the desire of the heartbeat of the Lord. Everything. Shroop Damodar. There Vrathiyatra, seven parties, four chosen by Lord Chaitanya. Each person was chosen by Lord Chaitanya perfectly to be the lead singer, the lead dancer, the kartal players, the madunga players, so that it was complete harmony with the pleasure of Lord Jagannath in the center. To bring Lord Jagannath back to Vrindavan, that sound which he cannot resist, just like the gopis run madly into the forest when Krishna played his flute, they couldn't resist it. Nothing got in the way. We may have a little bit of a taste like that. I think all the devotees, when they hear the kirtan, they run to the kirtan, right? They can't, they throw everything down, they run to the kirtan. They put their mobiles down, and they run to the kirtan. They might even turn them off. Wake up! Someone said, Janardhan said, wake up. Yes, we jump into the kirtan, let go of everything, forget everything else, and just dance. Chant. Jayad Veda Maharaj was talking about, somebody asked a question about fanatic the other day. Huh? Somebody did, was it? I think it was Jayad Veda Maharaj in that class. Huh? Fanatic. Well, this is in one sense, I mean, of course there is tempering here. It's not, you don't just dance like a maniac. Maybe in the beginning sometimes that happens, some drunkard comes in. But, you know, we have to understand a little bit. There has to be some knowledge there, too, what we're doing it for. Why are we dancing and chanting? Ultimately, Prabhupada is teaching us how to dance and chant for the pleasure of Krishna. Prabhupada dances only for that reason and inspires us to try to do likewise. So there are many different, you could say, guidelines there which will help us to develop this mood of we're doing it for Krishna's pleasure. We don't know how it pleases Krishna. We learn from those who do. Prabhupada says, the goal of life cannot be achieved unless one practices the process. Now, being merciful upon me, please explain. This isn't Prabhupada saying this. This is actually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying this. He's saying this to Ramananda Roy. The goal of life cannot be achieved unless one practices the process. Now, being merciful upon me, please explain that means by which this goal can be attained. Who wants to know what the goal is? Okay, we're running out of time. We're going to leave it there. There's I wanted to share many different things from Bhaktivinoda Thakur and from Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and different aspects in this regards. But we'll ask if there's any comments on this, and keeping to the subject matter, if you please can, and not sort of ask something from over the other side of the Jamuna or something. Panchagoda Prabhu, I'm so impressed. I mean, I see you every day in the class.
I wasn't
here
yesterday.
Pardon?
No,
neither will. I was on my way here, and I couldn't sleep. I'm having a sleep problem, and I had so much to do, and I just couldn't make it. Then it started raining, and I just went down, you know. Oh, gosh. There's a virus going around. There's a big virus going around the material world. I mean, there are many viruses going around which are very dangerous. This is, you could say, a health hazard, but there are many more dangerous ones on social media and other places. Be careful. We have to catch the virus of kirtan, sankirtan. That's a virus too. Yes?
Prabhupada encouraged me that we all together chant the holy name, sankirtan, in early days, many, many hours, 8, 10, 12 hours, those would be chanting and dancing. It seems that over the years it's minimized, and people like just to watch the kirtan. You know, they're appreciative and they're positive, but then they participate. And it's difficult to train the mind to actually get over the ego that I can actually chant and dance and be part of it, whether I'm at the chant or the play with Morgana or cartels. I force myself to get down and start to be part of it. How do we become more part of the kirtan instead of just appreciating it externally?
Well, you're going to get me going now. How do we become more part of it rather than just a spectator? And sometimes we're not even a spectator. We're, you know, I did that this morning. I went on Harinam last month. You're asking me to go again? What is this? 1 hour a week, that's 1 hour too much. Have you ever noticed, though, when you do go on Sankirtan, and now we're talking now on the street or in public or whatever it may be, so, have you ever noticed that when you go, many times after an hour, if you last that long, you're thinking, why don't I do this more often? Have you ever noticed that? Well, you know, you're doing it all the time. Huh? I won't repeat that one. You got such an amazing sense of humor. Has anyone ever experienced that? I mean, most of you are from India. It may not be the same, but I see that wherever I go, that, you know, sometimes I go on my own. I used to go on my own regularly, and I go to Sydney or somewhere. I go on my own sometimes at Harinam. Then gradually people catch on. You know, you see there, if you're happy, you know, one of the things is, probably common to all of us, we want to be happy, whether it's genuine or conditional, isn't it? It's a common denominator amongst practically every living entity. Even if you happen to be in the body of a mosquito, believe it or not, a mosquito wants to be happy. Bear that in mind when you see a mosquito drinking. He's hungry, he's thirsty. You know, imagine if you're going to the prasadam room and someone comes in and swats you like this and knocks you flying out of the prasadam room. How would you feel? You wouldn't be very happy. I'm going to get my own back on that one. So they come back at you 100 times more powerful than before. Anyway, aside from that, people want to be happy. You know, if the Harinam Sankirtan is like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We may not be pure devotees in the mood of the gopis or the Rath Yatra of Lord Chaitanya, but it's meant to be joyfully performed to Shanti Cha Ramanti Cha, even at our stage. Joyful. It was joyful. We didn't just go 8 to 10 hours and think, my God, this is a drag. What am I doing here? Right? You wanted to stay longer. You didn't want to stop. You're chanting, even going to bed, in the shower, everywhere, in the toilet. Chanting everywhere. In the kitchen, while we're cleaning the floor. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 everything. And 71, 72, and I don't know, we got into other things and this and that. We got specialized. But Jiva Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, again and again emphasized, every service must be accompanied with the chanting of the holy name. You think, I'm doing something else. No, the chanting of the holy name. Otherwise, false ego comes in, this comes in, we forget why we're doing it, etc., Prabhupada writes. The chanting helps us to remind us also. Daily worship also is very essential. Very essential. There's no doubt they go together. We cannot ignore the worship of the Lord. Otherwise, we will not develop this mood of personal relationship with the name, with Krishna. Not just a sing song. And I like it, I don't like it. Who's singing? I like it. It's become a little bit like that now. Who is singing? You know, the melody, the musical instruments, the place. This is external kirtan. It's not internal. It will not, unless the leaders are really advanced, it may not lead to that internalization. And that understanding that kirtaniya sadahari, isn't that our goal? Don't we say it every day? So what's missing? Is it trinada pisunichina? Tarora pisunichina? Is that missing? Maybe. Prabhu, yesterday I was with Mandakini at a program in the VIHE, and Mother Prashanta said that Mandakini in 1971, 71 or 2? 71, wasn't it? 71. Prabhupada came to London. She was serving there. And she said, Prabhupada decided that she should marry Ananta Shanti, the first Russian devotee. Never asked her. He decided on the plane. I think Shamsundar and Prabhupada decided on the plane that she would be a good match for Ananta Shanti. Prabhupada said, just came there. What did he say? What did Prabhupada say? No mic. I'm sure she's saying that.
She'll say it now on a microphone.
Okay, quick with the mic.
I think she shall very much. Thank you very much for the class. So, Srila Prabhupada said, Mandakini, with a big smile, would you like to go to Moscow and to marry this boy, Adatoni, and by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, assist the mission there in the Soviet Union? That's what Prabhupada said.
And what did you say?
And, I've been praying to Shishu Radhananda Nishvara that Srila Prabhupada would ask something a little difficult. And I asked dear Shishu Radhananda Nishvara to remind me to say yes. So when the time came, I remembered and I looked at Srila Prabhupada and I said, yes,
Srila Prabhupada. Yes. We used to say yes. Do you remember those days? Prabhu, can you do some service? No. I'm busy. I got my rounds to chant. I'm chanting 64 rounds today. No time. I didn't sleep last night. Ask somebody else. There was a time when we used to say yes. Now, not blindly, of course. You could say maybe a little blindly. We shouldn't be stupid. But that mood of enthusiasm for service. Enthusiasm. Serving the Vaishnavas. Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said is the key to developing a taste for chanting the holy name. Service to the Vaishnavas. And to develop a taste. We don't have no taste. We have a taste for something or another. We lost that taste. Not everybody, of course. But the taste hasn't come. We haven't got it. You can't. It's just, what do you say? It's contagious. It's a virus. It's the most powerful thing. It has to be created again. It has to be awoken. So how to do that? We have to do it. But service to the Vaishnava has a powerful effect of evoking the mercy of the holy name. Very important. Mandaki going to Russia. No one was there except for, what was his name? Alexei? Anatoly. Was the only person in any way inclined or had any, and only a little bit of knowledge about Krishna consciousness given to him personally by Prabhupada. Powerful injection. Mandakini went there, taught him,
guided him, and then the whole Russian yatra went through many challenges, but blossomed into tremendous what it is now. Hundreds of thousands of devotees. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. With that enthusiasm, just by saying yes, one yes, created such a huge effect. Incredible. That was the mood. Devotees would do anything for Prabhupada, right? We'd do anything. Keeping Prabhupada's wish in the center, I think we have to understand the mission of Srila Prabhupada and become grateful to Srila Prabhupada just all the time. That everything we have is mercy coming through Srila Prabhupada. And keeping that always in the center of our lives, what would Prabhupada want? We're here to not think, oh, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. So much of this, what have I got out of it? These type of statements are complete maya. Complete maya. They're the statements of, you know, maybe somebody who's just walked in the door. And if we still have those after 40 years, we're missing something. We're not associating with Srila Prabhupada's mission. Something's missing. Maybe some distant association. But to create that mood of what would Srila Prabhupada want of us, and the spirit of coming together in kirtan is the solution to all of the problems which we have to spend countless hours in our minds spinning around. Spinning around. Yes, Prabhu. Need a mic.
Raj, thank you for the class, and thank you for the time for speaking. It was outstanding. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. You were mentioning in the class...
Can you put the mic closer?
Yes,
I can't hear.
Or repeat what I said. Thank you, Raj, for the class.
Good question.
Yeah.
Good question.
Our apologies. You were mentioning about offenses. Now, and we can understand that primarily offenses and dangers, primarily to the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And also we can understand that there is no difference between Vrindavan and Navadvipa. Why is it that in Navadvipa the offenses are reduced to a minimum for a certain reason, and in Vrindavan, they're not?
Your senses?
Why the offenses?
Oh, the offenses. That's what I said. Senses.
No, offenses.
Offenses. I'm off to Mayapur right now. Give me a ticket, quick. I was thinking the same thing yesterday. Oh, boy. Why is it? Well, this is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No doubt about that, that he doesn't consider. But here in Vrindavan is something which we were at this program yesterday, and I said, what do we chant? And they said, just chant Hare Krishna. I said, okay. We've already chanted. I said, have you chanted Pranams to Prabhupada? Have you chanted Panchatattva Mantra? Mahamantra? And they said, no, we chant at the beginning. Fine, no problem. But I said, please excuse me, I'm going to chant Prabhupada's pranams and the Panchatattva first. Fine. You know, it's, we got to always remember that as we've already heard, are we really in Vrindavan? How much we're in Vrindavan? That's another thing. It's a very confidential dham. Mayapur is Odarya dham, is very merciful, as we know. We're not on the level of Madhurya. We need Odarya. We need that mercy. Absolutely. But that can also be experienced here in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada didn't store Gaurini Tide right here in the temple. We can't approach Krishna Balaram or Radha Shamsundar without their going through Gaurini Tide. We can't chant the holy name. We can, but how to become free of offenses? Many times Srila Prabhupada said, essentially, we have to chant the name Gaur Nityananda or Gaur Nitai or Panchatattva Mahamantra. We have to go through the right means. Yes, it's more intense here in Vrindavan. There's no doubt about it. And there's no doubt about it. We have to be more careful.
generally Prabhupada said, and I mean it's written anyway, that unless one is, you know, a little bit advanced in spiritual life, spending too much time in Vrindavan is very risky. Very risky. But if you're engaged in service, bona fide service, then it's like when we're chanting Hare Krishna. If we're always chanting Hare Krishna, we can't chant anything else, at least externally. It's Kali Yuga. So at least externally, we should avoid anything other than devotional service when we're in Vrindavan. As much as we can. It's a great reminder. We need both. We need both the Adharya mood, that merciful mood, but we shouldn't take that for granted either and think, I could go to Mayapur and do any damn thing I like and I'm okay. I chat my rounds and go to class sometimes and then I can do anything I like. It doesn't work like that either. We have to take the mercy. The mercy is there to unqualified personalities are being given the opportunity. We shouldn't take advantage of it either. Thinking, therefore, I don't get a reaction for this, so what? It doesn't work. You'll never develop love of Krishna like that. We remain in that frame of mind for a long time. Here in Vrindavan, it's much clearer, isn't it? It's right on the surface. Oh, thinking, oh boy, I better be careful. Is it? More so. We do forget. We do slip. But it's more on the surface. And we're reminded of it. It's there all over. We sometimes, you know, get carried away. Krishna tests us. The rickshaw wallet demands twice the normal price and we get uptight. Then how do you feel afterwards? You feel awful, right? Isn't it? I had that the other day. I gave a donation to one guy and I didn't give it to the other. I didn't have any money in my pocket. And he got really upset and I kind of said, just close the door. You know, I was trying to get in the taxi. And it was like, and I felt really bad afterwards in one sense. You know, I felt like I'd offended a resident of Vrindavan, you know. But that is a good thing in one sense. That is purifying. When you feel bad about it, that is anutapa. It means a fever in your heart. It burns away that tendency to commit offenses to the Dham. You become feeling of deep repentance. So in Vrindavan is a great place to go that step. There's another step on devotional service. This important step of feeling not just sorry, Prabhu, but it's in your heart. Your heart is burning. Painfully burning. Just like the gopis were feeling painful in their heart. What happened? Why did Krishna leave us and go alone? What was it? You know, they're feeling burning in their hearts. So that repentant feeling at our stage of devotional service is very on the surface right here in Vrindavan Dham. If you're fortunate, if we're ready, if Krishna gives us this chance, if we don't take advantage, we're stuck. Or we're kicked out, whatever it may be. We'll lose whatever good fortune we may have, practically. So this is a great thing when we realize that. And we do make mistakes. We may make an offense, but how do you feel about it? You feel awful, right? You don't feel good. At least that's the idea. And that will purify us, help to bring us further on the path. And we take shelter of Gaur Nithai and Srila Prabhupada and chant Hare Krishna and come together and dance and chant as much as we can. This is the secret of coming together with devotees and chanting. In the association of devotees, keep that association. Prabhupada's association will protect us in all ways. In the association of devotees, this can be burned up. So we need both the Odario of Navadvip and the Dham here. Prabhupada brought us to Navadvip, then he brought us here. Both. We'd always start in Mayapur and come here, wasn't it? In the 70s, always. Mayapur, Vrindavan. Always. Pray to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. You get a lot of purification there too, preparing us then to be a little more qualified to really serve the Dham in a better frame of consciousness. But we're following Prabhupada, so if we're following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, coming here, gathering here, we may make mistakes, but Prabhupada is our loving Father, guiding us, revealing what we should do when we make mistakes, etc. Be humble, tolerant, respectful to others, and eventually Kirtaniya Sadahari. So practice it when you go back home or wherever you're from. More kirtan, more chanting, more service to Vaishnavas, Even if there's some mistakes, just keep chanting and serving. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Shri Gornitai Krishna Balaram Radhashama Sundara ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Haribo.
Om Shri Ramana Radhi ki jai.